Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On today's episode of Power of the Towel, part of the Canucks Misconduct Network of Podcasts. If you don't know, the Vancouver Canucks are not going to be making the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, now you know, after two straight regulation losses to the Winnipeg Jets at home. We break that all down for you, those past two games. We also set up what perhaps the rest of the season for the Vancouver Canucks could possibly look like once they come back from this week-long break that they have against the Calgary Flames on Wednesday. And we end the show with a bit of thoughts on the Elias Pettersson injury, because there are reports coming out today as we are recording this that it could be a bit more serious than we initially thought. Should be a good one.
Halle DeBoer! Woo!
You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel.
He's not a person at all. He's a towel.
You're a towel.
But in Vancouver, mainly it's all about towel power.
Are you ready?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Power of the Towel, part of the Canucks Misconduct Network of Podcasts. I'm your host, Nick Bondi. Before you go any further, subscribe to the Canucks Misconduct Network wherever you get podcasts. Not only do you get this show, Power of the Towel, twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, throughout the NHL season, the Canucks season, you'll also get Silky and Filthy, Puck Talk and Bullshit. Brand new episode came out yesterday. Go give it a listen. The Quickie by the one and only Trevor Beggs. And of course, Sip It on a 40 from the brilliant mind, the unique mind of Kyle Bowen. Okay, so we mentioned it right in the intro. It's not a secret to anyone who's been listening to the show for, March 26th now. This is, I guess, a month ago. The Vancouver Canucks will not be making the playoffs in 2021, folks. The Athletic gives them a 7% chance to make the playoffs, a 0% chance, just straight up no chance in hell of them winning the Stanley Cup this year. 2% to make the second round and 1% to make the final four. So it's going to be tough because you look at the odds they give for the playoff spots in the North Division. Remember, four teams are going to make it out of this division. Toronto, 100%. Oilers, 93%. Winnipeg Jets, 92%. Montreal, 91%. So it looks like all four spots in the North Division have been locked up, essentially. And now it's just about who is going to finish where. Montreal, they just keep increasing their games in hand on all these teams because of the cancellations, because of COVID. They're not playing at least until next Monday. There's going to be some games moved around, folks, because of the North Division schedule, because of these cancellations. So please keep that in mind. Yes, the Canucks are coming back Wednesday, but after that, the schedule will probably look a bit different. Will definitely look a bit different. But anyways, let's get to those games. Monday night. And for some reason, when I recorded that game, that episode Monday night, I was convinced that was the last game before the break. I didn't realize that it was a two-game set against the Jets. So if you go listen to that episode and thinking, like, what the hell is this guy talking about the break? I honestly thought this was going to be the last game before the break. Like we say, honest people, honest podcasts. Honestly thought this was going to be the last game before the break. But anyways, that Jets game. Monday night. End up losing that 4-0. And in that game, the team just looked like they weren't, the effort the urgency I just didn't feel was there. They did not look like they were playing, you know, a game in which this is the last chance to pick up some points before the standings likely get out of reach. It just felt like there wasn't a sense of urgency from the Vancouver Canucks. And maybe that's me fucking up that there was another game after that, but I didn't get the sense of urgency from that game. It doesn't matter if there's a game afterwards. You can split the series. You can't split the series if you're the Vancouver Canucks. You got to win these games. And that was the disappointing part from the Monday game, at least, was just the lack of urgency I felt from that team wasn't up to where I think that team needed to be at. But the first goal, the winning goal by Blake Wheeler, man, did Edler look slow on that first goal. It was not a good look for Edler. Pinches, puck goes by him. And then afterwards, Blake Wheeler's not the fleetest of foot. But you just knew after that, Edler had no chance of catching him. Not a good goal on Demko either, but good play by Blake Wheeler. He kind of looked off Demko, I'm sure Demko thought he was going to pass and then shoots it. I've been in that situation before. Played a couple games of a goalie in ball hockey. That's a tough one because you're looking at the eyes, you're looking at his positioning, you're thinking, okay, that's a pass. And a quick low snapshot like that can throw you off guard. Yeah, no, absolutely no doubt. Nikolaj Ehlers, another great game against the Vancouver Canucks. I swear, this guy really steps up anytime he plays the Vancouver Canucks. Just twisting the knife in that wound of the whole Vertanen, Nylander, Ehlers situation. The power play didn't look that great, I didn't think, on Monday night at least. And then the third period, you know, there was a good push to start the third period, which I like to see, and then they just got a lucky one after that, the Jets. Of course, the big story coming out of that game was the Horvat injury. There wasn't going to be any top four centers. Think about that. If Bo, and thankfully, it was deemed a bone bruise. He was able to play the next night, but, and we'll get to the Canucks' history with injuries and their medical staff after the break. But there was a very real possibility that in this second game against the Jets, the Canucks were not going to play with their top four centers of Pettersson, Horvat, Sutter, and Beagle. They were going to go into the game with no top four centers, which, you know, Jim Benning would use as an excuse at the end of season press conference. You can already book that. That's like minus 500 favorite. By the way, go subscribe to the It's Free Money podcast. A lot of quick plug for the other show. A lot of good gambling tips, in my opinion, out there. But anyways, it looked bad. It looked bad when he came down the tunnel. People in the arena, I saw tweets, him lying in a tunnel, just yelling out, fuck. That's not a good sign. But there was a good push to start, I felt, in the third period. Jets got a lucky one after that, but they never really tested in that game Connor Hellebuck. That was my big concern coming out of that game. They never really tested him. I know it's easy to gloss over the Horvat injury now because it seems like he's going to be okay. Hopefully he takes this week to rest and the foot's fine and it hasn't been misdiagnosed or anything like that, but it was approaching very scary scenes for the Vancouver Canucks when you couldn't have your top four centers in the lineup for a crucial game, no matter what happened before. That second game against the Jets was always going to be crucial considering what happened in the first game. So that second game against the Jets ended up being a 5-1 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. My gambling brain just goes to the fact that if you took the under in that game, you would have been so, so choked with all the goals late in the third period. Like, absolutely choked. But it's not a gambling show, so we won't go too much into it, but that's just where my brain goes at this point in my life. The degenerate gambler in me just goes, man, if you took the under in that game, I would be so, so pissed. But anyways, look, I was setting up to be a big game. Horvat healthy, that was a big boost for the team, I think, going into that game. Alex Edler tries to take out the Jets captain, like, first shift in the game, Blake Wheeler. Almost an identical play. Blake Wheeler takes a puck right off the skate, goes down in a heap. You know, if you're a Jets fan, luckily he got back up and played the game. This was right after the Tim Peel situation. So everyone's making jokes about the Tim Peel makeup call on Twitter. And just a quick comment on the whole Tim Peel situation. Look, we all know makeup calls exist in the game. We all know that. I think the only crime Tim Peel made was he said the quiet part out loud. That's really the only mistake he made, was he said it on the hot mic. If you think about it, we can't call all the penalties in hockey. That would just be way too much. And we know that game management exists, and we know, like, refs trying to even out penalties, but it was just wild to hear it in a video on a hot mic. But anyways, I thought Tyler Motte had a great game. The second game, there was a play, I think, in the first or second period where he turns the puck over, but you know what? Immediately gets it back, leads to a great scoring chance for the Canucks. Tyler Motte, I think I would like him to stay as a Vancouver Canuck. I'm sure he's got value. I can honestly see him getting, you know, a late first-round pick, like a Barclay Goodrow type situation. I think he's that valuable to a team. Good bottom six forward, great penalty killer, can provide shorthand goal slot. Playoff teams would love that. But I'd like to see Tyler Motte stick around. I really do. I think he'd be a good bottom six contributor for this team. Jimmy Vesey had another great game. He got a great chance in this game. He seems to have chemistry with JT Miller. We had Pete Edwards on the last episode of Power of the Towel. He of the Canucks Speakeasy podcast. He mentioned, you know, Jimmy Vesey and JT Miller played, you know, on those junior U.S. national teams together. So maybe they have some chemistry there. I think he's had a good start, a good solid start to his Canucks career. Of course, the Canucks took too many men penalties. Two straight Winnipeg goals. Absolutely ridiculous. And those are the type of calls that you can't avoid game management for those. There's either six men on the ice or there isn't. And those are the type of calls that are always get called because they're not subjective, right? Like a hook and hold, a slash. At the end of the day, they are subjective. They're not black and white. Why do you think, you know, puck over glass is always called regardless of the situation? Because it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. You cannot say, oh, I'm going to let that one go. I didn't see it. You know, it's not really that much. It's either the puck is over the glass, cleared by a defenseman, not deflected, or it's not. So you're always going to see those calls called, obviously. I thought JT Miller had another great game as pretty much the first line center of the team with all the injuries. There was that play late in the game where Travis Hamonic kind of deferred to Myers. He had room to skate it out, but tries a pass up to Myers for the exit attempt when Tyler Myers was clearly gassed, and he was on, and then it ended up being like a monster shift for Tyler Myers, like literally 3 minutes. And man, I tweeted this out at the time. Anytime they have that Myers shift clock come on Sportsnet, because they have that graphic, right? Like the shift clock. At one point earlier in the game, it was like 2 minutes and something. And then eventually there was like the 3 minute Tyler Myers shift. And they just had the entire, you know, line and defense pairing for their shift clock. It's absolutely ridiculous. The Canucks, though, in that game, that second game, this may surprise you. They had twice as many shot attempts on 5-on-5 as the Winnipeg Jets. Unbelievable, right? But they end up losing 5-1. Andrew Kopp. For some reason, I get them confused. I think they're the same player. Andrew Kopp, four goals. Four-goal night for him. Yeah, and that was kind of, you know, the final nail in the coffin for the Vancouver Canucks playoff hopes again. 7%, according to The Athletic, to make the playoffs. So where does that leave the Vancouver Canucks the rest of the way? What is going to happen? Well, first and foremost, it's time to look for everyone's favorite phrase in Vancouver, asset management. I love Vancouver fans, love asset management. But that's where we're going to have to look to the rest of the season. Obviously, the trade deadline is April 12th this year. Canadian government has removed its quarantine restrictions to 7 days with additional testing. So maybe, you know, maybe that facilitates a few more trades for the Canucks. Maybe that allows, you know, teams to easily be buyers, like the Leafs. Maybe that allows the Vancouver Canucks to, instead of looking for picks and maybe they go up the player route. Remember the Thomas Vanek, the Tyler Mott situation? Maybe they go for more players because they can theoretically put them right into the lineup. With players like Jimmy Vesey, Travis Boyd claimed off waivers. I think the Vancouver Canucks are getting ready to sell. I don't want to get my hopes up because I know as I get my hopes up, they're not going to do anything and they're going to blame COVID and everything, which is a legitimate excuse this year. Let's be real. Let's be honest. It's probably a lot harder to make trades happen with a flat cap and COVID. But I don't want to get my hopes up. I'll be pleasantly surprised if they go full sell. Maybe they ship off a guy like Brandon Sutter for a pick. I heard the Edmonton Oilers are interested in with like a fourth round pick. Maybe they do something like that. But I think it's just going to set up the rest of the season. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Got 20-odd games. Somewhere around there for the Vancouver Canucks. 19 games, actually. Because they play a 56-game season. They played 37. 19 games left. It's evaluation time. It's about seeing what you have the rest of the season. And it's disappointing for people like me who create content around the Vancouver Canucks, who podcast around the Vancouver. I want to talk about a winning team. There's nothing I want more than talk about a winning team, but at the end of the day, this is what the season is going to come down to, is you're going to hear a lot more talk about the future on these podcasts about the Vancouver Canucks, because let's face it, these games down the stretch, they're not going to mean much in terms of standings. It's about evaluating what you have. They have a game against the Flames coming up Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. start. Flames are reeling. They only have a 15% chance, according to The Athletic. Sorry, 17, to make the playoffs. So a big game for them if they want any chance of making the playoffs. They got 3 games at hand on the Canucks. But Canadians have 3 games at hand on them. So tough situation for them. But for the rest of the season, I think the Vancouver Canucks, it's evaluation time. It's about figuring out what you have for the future. It's unfortunate for a lot of fans, but it's honest truth. The rest of the season, you're just playing out the string. It's the it's like an old school death march like we used to have back in 2018-19 or 2017-18. Just playing out the string. That's kind of what the Vancouver Canucks have done to themselves this season, unfortunately. But anyways, I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to end the show with a little talk about Elias Pettersson injury status, because there was some big news, I think, regarding that, or fairly significant news regarding the Elias Pettersson injury that came out today. So we'll be back right after this.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay, we are back. So, Elias Pettersson, he's been out for a while, right? They've been saying day to day. Well, we have some news this morning from Sadiyar Shah. This is what he said on the radio. He might still play before the end of the season, but I'm not expecting him back anytime soon, especially not for the 31st when Canucks come back. Again, that is after the break. Irfan Ghaffar, I believe, reported earlier that it could be a wrist injury. And this is what Patrick Johnston, former guest of the show, had to say. He said, the fact an MRI revealed more than the initial clinical diagnosis and that Pettersson's now been out nearly 4 weeks and doesn't seem close to return suggests he could have a fracture or ligament damage. Let's just say there's reason to suspect it's a wrist problem. Now, of course, this goes back to Canucks doctors in general. You know the history of the Vancouver Canucks medical staff. They don't have the best injury. I believe one of them went to the Golden State Warriors, and they started getting a bunch of injuries as well. But I think it's time to shut Elias Pettersson down until you are 100% sure this wrist is fully healthy. There is no point. There is absolutely no point going back and rushing him back for games, again, that we have said. You're just playing out the string. You're just playing out the string at this point. Take your time with Elias Pettersson. Make sure he is fully healthy. And that goes for Bo Horvat as well. I know he played Wednesday night. They're saying just a bone bruise. But make sure. Make sure there's nothing worse there. And make sure these guys are fully healthy for next season. Because, again, you're just playing out the string now. If you believe some reports that they're looking at trading UFAs and even RFAs like Gaudette and Virtanen, they are just playing out the string. They are just playing these games to finish the season. There's no point to rush back a guy like Elias Pettersson, especially if his injury has been misdiagnosed, it looks like, the way it has been for the past 4 weeks, essentially. Because he went out, that early Leafs game in March? I believe that 3-1 game March 4th was the first day Elias Pettersson did not play for the Vancouver Canucks. He has not played since in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 straight games. Again, it's time to shut down Elias Pettersson. Nothing controversial saying, I just had to say it. It's time to shut down Elias Pettersson and make sure this guy is fully healthy by the time next season starts. Because again, if you believe Jim Benning has said 2 more years to make this team competitive, it's probably pretty important to have this guy fully healthy and no lingering issues 2 years down the road. Okay, so that is it for today's episode of Power of the Towel, part of the Next Misconduct Network of Podcasts. We will be back on Tuesday as usual for our longer episode. Make sure to subscribe to the network wherever you get podcasts. Again, 4 shows, 1 swipe, 1 tap, as we like to say here. This is Power of the Towel, part of the Next Misconduct Network of Podcasts. My name is Nick Bondi. Thank you for listening.